Hi, everybody. It's Curtis from Real English Conversations. And in today's conversation lesson, we're going to talk about Mother Earth and her powers. And for the real conversation tip, we're going to give you some small goal-setting advice to keep you motivated. This is the Real English Conversations podcast,
where you'll find the lessons and advice you need to be able to confidently use your English in the real world.
Before we get started with today's conversation, I would like to take a moment out to thank you and each and every one of our loyal listeners, because we know that you appreciate all the hard work and dedication that we put into these lessons and how they continue to be helpful to you.
Today, we have a small favor to ask you as a way of showing your appreciation for the work that we continue to do and to help our podcast to be known by other people. We are asking that you take the time to tell one person that you know about this podcast that you think would be interested in it. It could be a teacher, or it could be a friend that you know that is also learning English. This small action will make a big difference to make sure that Real English Conversations continues to produce these awesome conversation lessons for everyone to enjoy.
Okay, we're going to start our conversation today. We're going to talk all about Mother Earth or Mother Nature. What do we mean when we say that, when we talk about Mother Earth or Mother Nature?
Well, I think Mother Earth is just this, I guess we've made the Earth into a person, and we talk about it as if Mother Earth has power, and she's able to do things that are really powerful and almost beyond our control, and oftentimes it's more than we can comprehend. So, for example, the Earth can produce very, very powerful weather systems, like tornadoes and hurricanes, heavy rain that can cause landslides and that sort of thing. And it can also affect weather patterns like droughts and flooding.
Right.
And we've seen a lot of these different things happening within the last year. And then we have other natural phenomenons that are like earthquakes and volcanic eruptions.
Right.
So this is what we mean when we're talking about Mother Earth and her powers. Those are like the forces of nature that happen.
It almost seems like it's up to her to produce these unbelievable things that happen.
Yeah, and often you'll hear people talk about Mother Earth is setting things back to how they should be. And it's really talking about how human civilization and the things that we build can't withstand the power of these natural events. And I think that, I don't know, it's really hard to explain how we are people. We build houses and cities in certain areas, and Mother Earth can just come along and do something and
destroy them, or just affect people's lives in what seems like in an instant.
So there's a few things. Let's start by talking about some of the floods and then some of the dry periods. And we can actually talk about how British Columbia, Canada, was affected by these early in the spring this year. So where we used to live in Kelowna, BC, they had crazy flooding.
They did.
What happened?
Well, what happened was in the wintertime, they had a lot of snow. And it developed a snow pack, they call it.
Yeah, it's like a base of snow in the mountains.
So once it started to get warmer, that snow pack started to melt. But even more so, they had a more than normal amount of rain.
A higher than average amount of rain.
Right. It doubled the amount of water in that area, which caused flooding.
And Okanagan Lake was, it's a very, very large lake. It's more than 100 kilometers long. And I don't know how many feet it was above the maximum capacity, but I think maybe 8 feet or 2 meters or something like that. And anybody on the lake had sandbags, and they were trying to keep the water out of their houses. They had flooded basements. Really, really strange. It's never, like, what does it happen, every 400 years or something like that?
Yeah.
And then immediately after, the rain stopped. Everyone was happy that the rain stopped, except the rain didn't start again.
No, and it got really, really dry. And during the summer, always it's forest fire season.
But this year was particularly bad.
Right.
And the air quality was horrible. There was smoke in the air so thick it was blocking the sun. And dozens of communities were affected by the forest fires. It's crazy because no rain for 2 or 3 months with warm temperatures, and the forests, they burn so easy.
So it went from one extreme to another, mm-hmm. flooding to fires and so dry, mm-hmm. where they actually needed all of that rain in the worst possible time. They needed that rain to happen, and it didn't.
Yeah, and maybe all that rain was happening in Puerto Vallarta, because we had no shortage of it in August and September, that's for sure.
Our friends were saying, send it our way, send some of that rain here.
Yeah, send the rain north. But yeah, and then there were actually more devastating things that were happening, and Mother Nature was being very, very strong.
Yeah.
And showing her mighty power with a couple of strong earthquakes that hit Mexico this September.
And there was two of them. Mm-hmm. One was, I think, 8.1, mm-hmm. and then the second one was 7.1, I think.
Yeah. And the first one affected, where was it? In
Oaxaca.
Oaxaca. And then the second one was in Mexico City.
Right.
And what was really coincidental in a horrible, horrible way was that the second earthquake that struck Mexico City happened on the same day as an earthquake that they suffered 32 years ago in 1985. And that earthquake in 1985 killed 10,000 people. Oh. And it was very, very devastating. So what they do now as sort of like earthquake awareness and preparation training, mm-hmm. so they have these drills on the anniversary of that earthquake to help train the citizens and help them evacuate properly and try to minimize the amount of deaths that they would experience if there was another earthquake that occurred.
So it's like safety procedures, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. We call it a drill, so it would be an earthquake drill. Mm-hmm. If you're preparing for fires, maybe like in school, or
right.
you would have a fire drill. And
we had fire drills, yeah.
Everybody had to go out to the street and go to the specific assembly area and that mm-hmm. sort of thing. So anyway, these workers in the office buildings had just returned back to their desks after completing the earthquake awareness drill mm-hmm. when the real thing happened. On this same day as an earthquake that happened 32 years earlier.
What are the chances, right?
What are the chances of that? I mean, just horrible. So there were a lot of buildings that collapsed. There weren't as many people that died. Perhaps the buildings were stronger. Perhaps the people knew what to do, or a combination of both.
Right.
But very, very powerful to think about how the Earth is thinking. Maybe not thinking, but this is the way things are going.
Yeah.
The Earth says, I need to readjust that tectonic plate. Let me just move it around. Or the pressure builds up so much that it has to move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And on top of the Earth's crust is this mega city with millions of people. And it just shakes it like nothing.
And what made it so much stronger is that Mexico City is, it's like built on a lake bed, so it kind of intensifies things, right?
Yeah, I think it amplifies the effects of the earthquake. Mm-hmm. But it's crazy to think about a building that maybe is 60 stories high
yeah.
being able to just be shaken
yeah.
by the earth.
And some of these buildings just crumble, too.
Yeah, and I don't know. So talking about the power and staying yeah. focused on the power of Earth,
right.
that's what I mean about the this massive city mm-hmm. and how the Earth and the tectonic plate does an adjustment and it shakes it like nothing.
Yeah.
It's as if the city isn't even there, and we know how much a building weighs and how fragile our human lives are and our fragile buildings are
yeah.
that can be affected by that. Now, something else that I think we had the awareness of how destructive wind and rain can
yes.
be.
Yes.
And where did we see that this year?
In the Atlantic Ocean. Mm-hmm. Three major hurricanes that happened almost back to back, one after another. Mm-hmm. But they were some of the most powerful hurricanes hurricanes that have happened in a long time. Mm-hmm. And these hurricanes caused major destruction because of how powerful those winds were. And there was a lot of rain that came with them, and the storm surge as well.
Yeah, hurricanes are a very powerful thing, and I haven't really paid attention to hurricanes until we moved to an area that is also susceptible to hurricanes happening. But wow, I can't even imagine winds that are so fast, it's the equivalent as an airplane taking off.
Yeah.
300 kilometers per hour.
Yeah, that's like the maximum, right? Category 5, I think they call it.
Yeah, I think that the fastest recorded wind speeds were with Hurricane Irma.
Yep.
And what was really, really interesting about this hurricane, I mean, horrible for those that were affected by it, don't get us wrong, but what's interesting as a weather phenomenon and how powerful and quickly these sort of things can develop is they have this, I can't remember the exact criteria of how they determine this sort of thing, but they have a certain amount of kilometers per hour that if the wind speeds increase within 24 hours by this amount of kilometers per hour, it is considered a very, very fast developing hurricane. And with Hurricane Irma, or was it Maria? I can't remember. One of the hurricanes. They had very, very fast development. So it went from a tropical storm to a Category 5 hurricane in less than 2 days.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Maria. I think that was the one that followed Irma.
Yeah.
And Maria just developed so
fast. It like came
out
of nowhere.
Yeah.
And these poor people on the islands,
yeah,
they had just went through a very, very devastating storm that it affected. I know Barbuda was very, very badly affected.
The Leeward Islands, they call them, I think.
Okay, so these islands, 90 to 95% of the structures were damaged. Like, nobody could live there. So, really devastating for that community. But then to have, 2 weeks later, what seems like a tropical storm, and tropical storm, whatever, we deal with those all the time, turn into another very devastating hurricane that completely pummeled Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And destroyed its entire power grid.
Yeah.
Ripped off roofs, ruined buildings.
It was like the worst possible scenario or situation that you could go through. I couldn't imagine being in that situation.
And was it the president of the Dominican Republic that had the roof ripped off his presidential house?
I think so.
But anyway, it's really interesting when you look at wind and how destructive wind can be, to be ripping off roofs.
Yeah.
I mean, what about the things flying around in the air?
They can be like weapons. You know, a street sign can break off and fly through the air and hit you.
Kill someone. Fly through a window. And it's just very, very amazing that a natural element that's produced by Earth can be so destructive. But really, if you think about it, with the earthquakes are not usually very deadly themselves. It's actually the buildings that crumble and the things that man has built that are working against us in this case. And it's the same thing with hurricanes. I mean, flying tree branches are not that scary.
Yeah.
But flying street signs and live electrical wires that are knocked down by the wind and...
Or even tornadoes. Tornadoes can pick up houses or cars, and those things go flying through the air, and who knows what it's going to hit, right?
Exactly.
Like, the car could fly through the air and land on a house with people in it. Like, it's scary.
Yeah.
Scary situation.
And then looking at forest fires.
Yeah.
Forest fires can become unstoppable as well.
Mm-hmm.
There was a very strong forest fire that happened, I think it was a couple of years ago, in Fort McMurray in Canada.
Yeah.
The same thing. It came out of nowhere. And it was just like all of the elements were perfect at the same time. The fire had started, the wind was strong, and it spread very, very quickly. And this community happened to be on the other path of the forest fire, and it was just annihilated. Wherever the fire went, it burned everything.
Yeah.
And that fire took, I don't know how long to go out. Like, there was underground burning because
for
the
months.
Like months and months and months that that fire had not completely went out. So
yeah, we knew people there too. My cousin actually lives there, and she was evacuated and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, she said that all the stuff was
burning,
and there was still firefighters putting out hot spots and stuff months after.
Yeah, months after a fire like that. So yeah, it's very, very powerful and destructive, and it almost seems like we're just getting in the way. You know, if a natural event is going to happen, it's going to happen. And it's going to destroy our houses, and it's going to shake the cities, and if there's a tornado, it's just going to ruin whatever's in its way.
Without warning.
Yeah, without warning. So it's very scary seeing that sort of thing, but I think it's impressive how powerful Mother Nature is, and how we have to continue to have respect for our planet and how it was developed.
Yes.
And take care with climate change so that we don't have these strong superstorms, and maybe we can reduce the droughts and the floods and that sort of thing by taking care.
Do your part to look after her.
That's right.
And this is the English conversation tip.
So if you've been learning languages for quite a while already, which I'm sure you have been, because as an intermediate to advanced level learner listening to this podcast, it took you a while to reach this level. You've probably noticed that there are periods of time with your language learning where your motivation is a little bit low, or you might feel a little bit lost about how to get to your final goals. Like, for example, being able to speak fluently and being able to understand everything perfectly. What do we recommend usually to our students that find themselves in this sort of situation?
Setting small, specific goals for yourself.
Okay, and what are those?
When you have a specific task that you want to improve with your language learning, your English learning, and you do that within a short amount of time, say for example, a week. By the end of the week, you want to be able to do that.
Like to complete that task that you had set out for yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, so just to give you an example of a very, very specific small goal that you could set for yourself related to listening. Something that you might do is, let's say that you're an intermediate level learner and you know that you need to improve your listening. And what you do is you find a video on YouTube somewhere, maybe a documentary, and it's about a topic that you find interesting, but it's difficult for you to understand because you feel a lot of the vocabulary that's used within this documentary you don't really have a good knowledge of, and when you're listening to it you can kind of see what's going on with the video but you're not comprehending the audio very well. So you might say to yourself, I am going to learn the first 5 minutes of this documentary to be able to listen to it without the subtitles by the end of the week. And this means that you're going to have to learn all of the vocabulary within the first 5 minutes to be able to understand it really well. You're probably going to have to listen to the audio several times. You may even have to slow it down. But as long as you can understand the first 5 minutes of the documentary fairly well by the end of the week, you will have achieved this small, specific goal that is obviously going to help your listening skills. So what is an activity that we can give people that they can do today to improve their speaking skills?
They can come to our website, see our latest conversation.
This one here that we're talking in right now.
Exactly. And you can download speaking practice exercises that we have on there. And you would go through those speaking practice exercises and complete them by the end of the week, for example.
So let's say if you're an intermediate student, we're going to want you to complete this within 7 days. If you're an advanced level learner, you should be able to complete it within a couple of days. And the idea is with the speaking practice activities related to our conversations, we want to help you learn how to talk about the same topics that we are discussing in this conversation. And this one in particular, because it's related to Earth and there's a lot of terminology related to natural disasters and the climate and all of that stuff, it might seem a little bit intimidating or difficult for you to talk about these topics, but it's not really that hard. You can learn just a few of the really specific terms and you'll find that you're able to explain these topics a lot easier. And the speaking activities are going to be the thing that guide you to be able to do that really, really well. So anyway, come to our website. It's super easy to find our conversation lessons. Get your download and take this actionable step that you're going to do today to start improving your speaking and improving your listening skills. See you later.
See ya.